91.3 KBCS, Music and Ideas. Listener-supported radio from Bellevue College.
Would you leave your home if you heard the nearby nuclear power plant was melting down? What would work and family say? Well, 7 years ago, residents of eastern Japan were faced with the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant disaster the day after a massive earthquake and tsunami impacted their region. KBCS has the story on a firsthand account of what it was like to live just 20 miles away from the exploded nuclear power plant within the first month after the disasters.
I draped a blanket over my daughter's head and body to protect her from the radioactive fallout as we walked about 30 feet from the house to the car.
That's Kaori Suzuki, a resident of Iwaki City, Japan. We focus on what happened in her town within the months that followed the nuclear disaster. As you heard, Suzuki evacuated her home for about a month the day she heard the news of the explosion. She was one of only 4% of the population who left her hometown within days of the accident. Iwaki City, where she lives, is about 20 miles away from Ground Zero. That's about the distance between Seattle and Everett. It's a bustling middle-class city of about 340,000. On the day the nuclear plant exploded, families within a 12-mile radius of the plant were evacuated. But the Japanese government announced there were no immediate threats of radiation exposure, and radiation measurements were not shared with the public. Suzuki describes what conditions were like for those who stayed.
Everyone wore masks, nylon parkas, and rubber boots when they went outside. In Japan, you take off your shoes just inside the entrance, and at that time, people were instructed to leave a wet stack of newspapers on the floor at the entrance. When we arrived home, we wiped the bottom of our boots off on the wet newspaper and then throw away the top layer of newspaper before entering the house.
Some cities had posted this information on their websites so the residents could take the proper precautions against nuclear contamination. Water mains had been damaged by the earthquake, so parts of the city had no running water in their homes until mid-April. To make things worse, transportation companies weren't making deliveries of goods to these areas.
There wasn't any bottled water in the stores or much of anything else to buy. To get water rations, we stood in long lines with our plastic containers at the water treatment plant. We would wait out there for long periods of time in the nuclear fallout. Aftershocks continued after the earthquake, so we brought all our children with us as we waited. We know now that Iwaki's water that the people stood in line for was contaminated with radioactive iodine at levels of 214 becquerels per liter.
To put 214 becquerels per liter in perspective, normally reeds are at less than 1/100th becquerels per liter. The World Health Organization sees up to 10 becquerels per liter of radioactive iodine as acceptable. Suzuki describes the tension she felt in the air during the months after the disaster.
I felt trapped in a lead fog at that time. There was an invisible fear in the air that no one acknowledged. Even among the closest relatives, it took a lot of courage to talk about radioactive contamination in our community. Because you can't see, smell, or feel radiation, its threat can be ignored unless we talk about it.
Keep in mind, conditions in Iwaki City were not steady yet during the months after the tragedy. The nuclear facility wasn't stabilized until August, and violent aftershocks of up to scale 7 continued throughout the next year. We'll have more on the 2011 nuclear disaster at Fukushima's TEPCO Daiichi nuclear power plant in this series on nuclear energy and the impacts of radioactive contamination. This story was produced by KBCS's Yuko Kodama and Yuka Handa. I'm Jim Cantu.